Please rise. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord given to us this morning. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Dearly baptized of Christ Jesus, Lent may be the most challenging season, yet it is also the most rewarding season in the church year. Not just because our focus isn't always on what we do, but it's on the attention that we should be paying to our Lord Jesus and Him crucified. Lent forces us to be confronted with some of Christianity's most difficult paradoxes. What is a paradox? A paradox is a statement that seems not to make any sense whatsoever. And even though it doesn't make any sense, it's still the truth. Jesus tells a paradox when he declares this morning from the Holy Gospel, "Whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel will save it." You must lose your life to save it? Sounds like nonsense. And it would be if it's coming from anyone else but Jesus. It is Jesus who lost his life only to take it up again on the third day. And since Jesus has been resurrected, because of our baptism, we have been given life. And even though we will die, we too will be resurrected when we lose our life for his sake and for the gospel, we are saved. Christianity, as defined by Jesus in his Sermon on the Mount, is filled with paradoxes. Remember, the poor will inherit the riches of heaven. Those who mourn will be comforted. And maybe the greatest paradox of all, in the Beatitudes anyway, blessed are the persecuted. And maybe the most difficult paradox in all of Scripture is found in the season of Lent. Today we hear in our epistle lesson that we are to find joy in suffering. Joy in suffering? Sounds foolish. Sounds nonsensical. It's a paradox. In the years following World War I, there were many people who thought, and they actually said, that World War I would be the war to end all wars. They imagined a future generations that would learn from all the death and the destruction and the depravity and the violence. They thought that we would never ever again as a human race ever repeat the same mistake again. Wow, were they ever wrong? 20 years later, the world again was embroiled in a world war. And war and conflict and strife here on earth has only become worse. Today, conflicts, violent revolutions, military coups are happening right now. Terrorism, both foreign and domestic, is a part of our life right now. They are a constant threat. Even in Van Wert County, Mercer County, and Adams County, there is a lack of peace, and it's demonstrated each and every day. The lack of peace, as bad as it is, reveals an even deeper problem that we human beings have. It's the lack of peace that we have with our Father in heaven. Sin separates us from God. Sin makes us hostile to God. You and I are helpless. We are helpless to do anything about this whatsoever. Even so, Paul tells us this morning in the epistle, since therefore we have now been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The word justified is a legal term. So Paul takes us into a courtroom, God's courtroom. And in his courtroom, you and I are the defendants. Whether we like it or not, we have 10 charges that have been levied against us. 10 of them. You know them very well, I believe. Failure to love, trust, and fear in God above all things. To praise, pray, and give thanks. To gladly hear and learn the word of God. To honor and obey all those in authority. To help and befriend those who are in need. To lead a pure and decent life. To help our neighbor to improve his possessions and his income. To take words and actions in the kindest possible way. And the last two kind of rolled into one, if you will, to be content in everything. 10 of them. And you and I are guilty of each and every one. Guilty as charged. Suddenly, a shocking event happens. The judge takes hold of his gavel and he slams it down. Not guilty. Some of you just woke up. Should I do it again? Not guilty, even though you were sleeping. Not guilty. You are innocent of all charges. Your record is now expunged. You are free. You are free indeed. If such a thing would happen today in a human court, we know the result, don't we? There would be cries of outrage, cries of injustice. There would be marching and looting and total chaos. Yet, Paul, with the use of the word therefore, points us all the way back to Romans chapter 4. And he tells us how this not guilty verdict, how this not guilty verdict is even possible. You are declared not guilty. I am declared not guilty because Jesus was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. Here's that paradox again. Jesus had to endure a cruel and bitter death upon the cross, in your place, in my place, so that now we have peace with God our Father in heaven. It may seem contradictory, but that's God's way. Paul tells us why just a few verses later. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God shows his own love for us. And while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So let's ask that classic Lutheran question. You all know the question very well. What does that mean? Well, let me take you back to 1981, specifically March 30th, 1981, and President Ronald Reagan was shot at, and he was hit. But just before he was hit, a Secret Service agent turned and shielded the president with his own body. And that agent took a bullet into the chest. The bullet that Agent Tim McCarthy took for the president could have certainly struck Ronald Reagan and maybe even killed him. Agent McCarthy recovered, as did the president. But here's the point. Agent McCarthy could have died for the man that he was willingly and freely protecting. Jesus Christ came and he freely took the beatings. He willingly took the whipping, the crown of thorns, the mocking, Roman spikes driven into his wrist and his feet, and finally a Roman spear thrust into his side. He took all of those willingly and freely so that you and I would not have to endure any of these. Then Jesus died. He died for you. He died for me. He died for every single person who have ever lived, who is living, and who will live. He died while we were still sinners. Jesus died, dear one. He died for you, for each and every one of you. As a result, through faith in Jesus the Christ, you have peace with God. Now, it's not a worldly peace, that should be obvious. It's a peace that the world dreams of, though, but they will never attain by what they do. This peace that we have with our Father is far, far better. It's an objective peace. It's a peace that exists outside of us. It means that regardless of what is happening, dear one, in your life right now, your relationship with God has been changed. Instead of being his enemy, you're now his friend, his child. Here at the font, he called you his beloved one. Paul grants us comfort and the assurance of peace with God, that it's something that we have right now, and it's something that we don't lose. In other words, once you are baptized, you have the peace of God. And even though we are sinners, still that peace resides with us. That's the wonderful reality of the peace that we have with God. That is not something that we receive one day and then lose the next. The peace Jesus died to win for you and for me and for the world has actually changed our status before God forever. Now, wait a minute, I know what you're saying, but Pastor, I'm still a sinner. I do things wrong every single day, and I do too, maybe more than you. This leads us to another Christian paradox. Luther summarized this paradox with a Latin phrase, and the phrase goes like this: simul ustis et peccator. At the same time, saint and sinner. Yes, we are always sinning. Yes, I am always sinning. But through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, his righteousness always covers us. Where sin increased, grace increased all the more. While Lent is certainly a time for serious self-examination and repentance, it's also a time, dear one, to rejoice. Yes, there is rejoicing in Lent. Rejoice that your Lord has suffered for you, since by his suffering and death, Jesus has won the peace for you. Peace for sinners. Peace for you. Peace forever. Is it hard to understand? Is it hard to believe when your suffering seems so bitter and pointless? Yes, yes, it is hard. Yet that's why you need Lent. That's why you need Lent this year and every year following. That's why you need to hear and understand, dear one, that you are following in the footsteps of your Lord and Savior. Footsteps that lead through suffering and death to a resurrection, to a resurrection in glory forever and ever. It is true that we will suffer in this life. This is no walk in the park. It is a walk with many hurdles and pitfalls and sin. But our Lord Jesus tells us to deny ourselves, put away your arrogance, pick up your cross of suffering, and follow him. And as you follow your Lord and Savior, he will lead you to one place only, to the golden gates of heaven. And there you will be with him in glory forever and ever. Endure for a short time and live with him forever. You see, my dear brother and sister, the cross for Jesus was absolutely necessary. Since only in his suffering and death could you have forgiveness of sins and peace with God. The cross is necessary for you and for me because suffering trains us and refines our hope. It helps us to focus on our Lord and to trust him and trust him alone. You see, it's first the cross, and then the crown for Jesus Christ, and finally, the crown of life for each of you on the great last day. We can't confuse those. Suffering is always first, followed by glorification with our Father in heaven. It's never the other way around. So as we close this morning, yes, this is one of Lent's most difficult paradoxes, joy in suffering. But this is the paradox that guarantees and sustains each of you. It sustains your hope that your Lord is coming for you, that as you walk this road of suffering, he is there with you and you are following him. And he gives you hope, a hope that as you have heard today, that as you have heard this hope, that all your sin, each and every one of your sins, are forgiven by your dying and resurrected Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. This is our hope, and this is the blessing of Lent. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guards your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.